Was your spirit being stirred there this morning? I question, what moves you? What moves you? Are you seeking after the Spirit? Are you asking to be filled every day? Are you seeking Him during praise and worship? Or is your mind else somewhere? Is it on something else? I mean, God knows the heart. When the Spirit is in tune, you can feel it. That desire, like you just know what's going on. You get it. It's like, to me, it's a clear picture of Calvary and everything that's been given and poured out. And I'm not there all the time either, guys. I deal with those same issues of life that comes in. I mean, this morning, it was rough. It was really rough for me this morning, but pushing the reset button, I was there. I could see it. I could see clearly the message of the gospel and the gift of salvation and God sending His Son to die for me, for my sins, for my shortcomings. Because the battle's intense. The devil seeks to devour you and me. He wants you part of darkness. He doesn't want you to be in the light. He's got that world system so concocted and so built to deceive us and to lead us astray. That's why you have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And what is truth? It's this right here, go. It's this right here. Amen. This is truth. Amen. It doesn't matter about opinions. It doesn't matter what other people say. It doesn't matter what I say. It matters what God says and what His holy word says. That's why you worship Him in spirit and truth. You seek His word. You seek His spirit and you pray and you're in communion with Him. Right. And He leads you and He guides you and you can hear from Him. That's the role of the Spirit in our life. That was why we left off in chat in James. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, have Your will in Your way, Lord. Speak through me. I am Your servant. I humbly let You take control. Have Your will in Your way right now, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In James chapter 5:16, we said, pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we talked about Elijah, who was a man subject to light passions. And we prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And I want to talk about that righteous man, Elijah. And I want to go there. And I want to spend time on that. This might be a continuation of the spiritual armor. It might be a whole another subject, but it is all engrafted together because it's tied to prayer and what Elijah was. We're going to see how prayer accomplishes things in life, and how to get God's ear, and how vital prayer is to a true relationship with Him. It encompasses our relationship. What do you do when Jesus knocks on the door? What do you you pray for salvation? You pray for Him to be Lord of your life. You are praying to Him. So the very moment you enter into relationship, it starts with prayer. It starts with prayer. Prayer is created from our burdens and our concern. And it's the reality of God in our life. It flows from a sense of need where you need to petition things, Joe. It flows from a heart full of faith in His promise, in His word, that it is true. And from the desire to see His will and His purpose in our life, and that it all may manifest His glory, not our own. That we don't boast. That's what Jesus did. He gave us in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." It came back in the garden and He said, "Lord, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." It's a flow from what, it changes, it's a pivot from what we want when we were of the darkness, when we were under the power of the prince of the air, and now we are sons and daughters of the high almighty God. And it's a pivot from our own selfish desires and things that we want, to now we pray in communion to want to be in line with Him and His will. Amen. What does he have in store for me today? What does He have in store for me long term? Give us this day our daily bread, Joe. Give us this day. Teach us. Feed me for this day. We'll see that here in Elijah. We're going to see that. It's so awesome how Scripture ties together. You're going to see Elijah's courage because of his communication and prayer life with God. He intimately knew God on another level. He lived in fellowship with Him, like a relationship, like we talked about. When you're in relationship with someone, you commune with that person. You eat dinner with that person. You talk to that person. You love that person. That's what we are to do with God. We have a relationship with Him. He's not just something you put on a shelf and pick Him up when you need it. You praise Him when blessings come, and you praise Him in the storms of your life. Elijah was in fellowship through prayer and because the word, the law of the Lord, was written on his heart. His will and his desires did not matter. It was God's will and desires that matter. And I want to turn over to 1 Kings chapter 16. We'll see how much we get through this. Because I spent about 5 hours just going through one chapter last night, so. But it's good when you're sitting there and you start reading and you, that breadth, depth, and length and depth that, you know, my dad would talk about with the Word of God. And I really never read the Word of God that way until I was really thrusted into this position. And God said, you know, "I'm knocking on the door." And it's been awesome, the enlightenment that He's given me. And that's not to boast or anything. I mean, we all have that ability if we seek Him in prayer. But He's so faithful. At times I'm sitting there going like, "I don't know what I'm going to teach on. I don't know where this is going, Father." And then He just leads. The Spirit leads. Says here. And it was just tied to that little verse that we just read in James chapter 5. The fervent prayer of a righteous man, of Elijah. Let's read about Elijah. So I want to set the stage. Let's just pick it up in 1 Kings chapter 16. And I'm doing things a little bit differently. I want to read through a set of scripture, and then I want to go back in and go in depth with it. So in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 28 through 34, and it says, "So Omri slept with the fathers and was buried in Samaria. And Ahab his son reigned in his stead." You need to understand, here's Ahab. He's the new king. "And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him." The king did evil in the sight of the Lord. He is king over Israel, God's chosen people. And the evil that he has done, is worse than those before him. Worse than what Saul tried to do with killing David. And here's where it starts. And it came to pass, as it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam and the son of Nebat. It's a, his idea of walking and sinning against God, it was light to him. It did not matter. He had put God on the shelf, if you want to call it that. That he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord of God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. In his days did he the Bethlehemite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof, his youngest son of Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Joshua, the son of Nun. So the new king comes to power through the line. His evil thoughts continuously. And this is the setting of which we're going to pick up with Elijah, because this is a time when the foundations are being destroyed within Israel. The God of Israel, the foundations are being shook. It's a time of spiritual apostasy and moral decay, very much like today. And you're going to see as we go through these scriptures, I want you to be thinking about today and back then. Today and back then, and times I will bring that up, but it is up to you to ask the Lord to decipher what's being trying to be said, and let the Holy Spirit minister to your heart. So, the government, the king, the world system has now created the new God. They've set up the altars for Baal. So Israel now has abandoned God's law because they look to the government for direction. They look to the king, and the king has set the stage. And part of something that came to me was when I was reading, and I talked about Jezebel. Jezebel is the one who pushed for Baalism. She pushed for this other religion, and so she was not true to the original to God, the God Almighty. She was not true to Judaism at the time. That the scripture about being unequally yoked, okay? The scripture about being unequally yoked, and you talk about the king who went with this harlot, who bastardized and put basically adultery. It caused Israel to commit spiritual adultery and to be intimate with the God of Baal instead of the God of Israel, whom set them free. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the one who saw them through the wilderness, got them out of bondage, saw them through their hand tear down the walls of Jericho. And they've abandoned him. So up to this stage, king after king were openly defiling God with no apparent consequences. And so Ahab decides to go one step further and marries Jezebel. And Jezebel actually kills the prophets of Israel, causes them to go in hiding, and institutes Baal as the god of the land, tears down the altar of the Lord, creates new altars. But Elijah knew God's word. Elijah knew his promises, because there was one prophet that she could not kill. There was one prophet that she did not scare because of Elijah's courage. Be strong and of courage. Remember that sermon? This is getting the stage to this most intense spiritual battle that's going to occur in the next couple of chapters. But because Elijah knew God's words and his promises, he knew of God's warnings and his principles. So I want you to keep your hand there because of 1 Kings chapter 17. But I want to go to God's warnings and principles and turn back to the left, and let's go to Deuteronomy. Chapter 11, Deuteronomy. And we're going to pick it up in verses 16 and 17. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. So there's a warning here. Do not be deceived. Do not put other gods before me. That's one of the commandments, right? And he's saying it here. Take heed to your heart, the heart condition. That's really that's the man. That's inner man. That is what we need to understand, our heart. Our mind will lead us astray. Our heart. We need to worry about our heart. That's the breastplate of righteousness, as we talked about, protecting ourselves. Because in verse 17, and then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless you perish quickly off from the good land which the Lord giveth you. So be not deceived. Do not worship other gods. So otherwise God is going to withhold the rain, and you will not be able to bring forth your crops. That's a warning. And Elijah knew this. He knew these warnings. He was a prophet. Turn over to chapter 28. Just reinforces the promises. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 23. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. So Elijah knows of the warnings. He knows what God said in the past. And yet, the king, Ahab, did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the other kings before him. So now God is ready to unleash his anger, to unleash his judgment. So this is the setting, the climate in which they're lived in. And I just want to stop there and just think about when a country turns its back on God, there's only so much time until God's anger then is poured out upon them. That's the importance of praying for our country. First Kings chapter 17, verse 1. A lot of stuff going on here. And so as a result, and here it is, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before him who I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And I just want to stop there, and let's go break down just verse 1. God was real to Elijah. He was real. He wasn't a puppet God, which was Baal. He was real, and it says, as the Lord of God lives, before whom I stand, basically recognize that God's presence is there. He's omnipresent. He is there in everything. He is there in everything. In every action we do, in every deed that we do, when we sin, he is present, and he wants to turn his eye away from us. But he is there. He gives you a way out of escape. When that temptation comes, he gives you a way of escape. It's what are you yielding to? Are you yielding to that flesh? Or are you yielding to the Spirit, which brings you life? Jesus gave us that example in the desert. That's why you need the Word, the law of the Word of God written on your heart to combat the enemy and that temptation. Staying there, I want to talk about that because he recognized that God's presence was always there. Turn over to Psalm 139. I'm going to read it in the New Living just because it's a little bit of a smaller book handling here. But I want to read through Psalm 139. So knowing that God is present in our life and he's examining it. It says right here, right in Psalm 139, O Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. It says he knows the hairs on your head. He knows everything about you. You know when I sit down or I stand up. You know my every thought when far away. You chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment you know where I am. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. Sovereignty. The power of God. You both proceed and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. It's the right hand of favor, folks. Amen. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to know. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. That's what Elijah was recognizing. Before who I stand. I'm not standing before King Ahab. I'm standing before God. David said, against thee and only thee have I sinned, Lord God. I can never escape from your spirit. Do you guys understand that? That's just a reality check for me. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the place of dead, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, and if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are both alike to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. I just like that scripture right there, that little passage right there. Kind of puts to shame the evolutionists, huh? You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. I remember Caitlin going through that process and the ultrasound and seeing the pictures and things and the miracle of life. The miracle of life. God's creation being formed, this little like ball with a beat to what she is today. The miracle of life. To say that came from nothing. It is sad. It is sad. It's lost. People are lost. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They are innumerable. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. Do you catch that? I almost passed by it myself. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? Do you remember what Daniel was? He was precious to God. He was precious to God. And his thoughts about you, Michael, are innumerable. More than the grains of sand. His thoughts are only good for you. We do live in a fallen world, folks. Things do happen, but the end result, he wants to work together for good. When I wake up in the morning, you are still with me. Oh God, if only you could destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies take your name in vain. Oh Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who resist you? Yes, I hate them with complete hatred, from your enemies are my enemies. That little passage there is like, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It says the creation groans for the return of the king to set things right. And that's where the heart of the Christian should be. It should groan when they see things. I was at the gym the other day, and I was talking to a young man. He just works at the front desk, and I make a point to say hello to him and talk to him. And he constantly is reading books. And so I just started the bridge for talking. And I said, oh, what are you reading? And he said, oh, it's something called The Purple Heart. And I said, oh. He's like, I try to read a book a day or every 2 days, because he just sits there. He works the midnight shift. So he's there all night. There's no one there. I said, have you ever read the Bible? He said, yeah, I've read it 8 times. I said, 8 times? Wow. He said, I'm not a Christian, though. He said, I'm spiritual. I'm spiritual, but I'm not a Christian. Religion is man-made, and it's just a way to control people. And so when I heard that, I said, oh, we got to talk. We got to talk. And I didn't have time to spend that, but now I know I have a new mission field at the gym. And it starts with a conversation.
That's right.
And so now I'm praying for the opportunity, because I was pressed for time at that moment to be able to stand there and go through things, but I now have a new mission field. God puts people before us, and we'll see what happens. I'll further report on it down the road here and see what happens, but I'm going to pursue. I will pursue, and I will do what I can. I will pray, Lord, open up the door for this conversation and to be able to share with him the truth and see. And maybe he'll receive and maybe he won't, but that doesn't stop me, correct? That doesn't stop you from sharing. But it's that easy, folks, just opening the door, just a simple conversation. Can turn you down. And not always. You don't want to force it. It's not canned. It was just simple conversation. And all of a sudden, there's this opening. And so we'll see what happens. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. I love this part here. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Point out the things that I'm doing wrong against you. And I know this is a sidebar from where we're at in scripture-wise, but I think it's so important to understand that God is present at all, always in our life. And that the last part about pointing out anything that offends you, take those things out of my life that block me from your blessing, that block me to be in your will, that divert me from your purpose. Take those things away. So just in that little verse 1, we see the importance that of the difference in Elijah recognizing that the God of Israel is real. He's recognized that God's presence is always there. He was real and personal to him. Unlike today, in our world, we constantly put idols before him. Our jobs, our money, our things, other religions, other gods. Our spouses, our friends, the list goes on and on. Those things can become idols, which are false gods. It's no different than taking down the original altar and replacing it with Baal. Do you understand that? Do you understand the magnitude of our decisions? Take those things away, O Lord. Psalm 139. Engrave that on your heart. Psalm 33:12 said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. But I want you to see the first part. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Not whose Baal is the Lord. It's not the other God. Blessed is that nation when they keep God on top. But Israel turned their back on him, just as you can feel this nation turning their back on God. The foundation to where it's going today. The world system Satan created has caused to do the very same in today's world. The modern worldviews, evolutionists, liberal theologians who water down the gospel, who water down the word for their own interpretation to manipulate you, to devour you for their own gain. It says their God is their belly in the scripture. New Agers, humanists, they all think that God, his word, his truth is archaic. It's obsolete. It was a time for the past. And that's what's happening here in Israel during this set of scripture. It's a new movement. We got Baal, the God of Israel's old. Yeah, he got us through that, but he's old. We need something new, something fresh. Elijah was convinced that God was alive through everyone else, though everyone else doubted. So Elijah would act on God's promises. Elijah says with certainty and confidence the word of the Lord. He says right there at the end of the verse, it says, "There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." So he's got the confidence because the word of the Lord said in Deuteronomy, he knew what would happen, and God is about to pour out his vengeance upon Israel. Just a side note, what was the God of Baal? Baal was the God of fertility, lightning, and rain. Isn't that interesting? Lightning and rain. So we're setting up this awesome showdown. You can already see where this is going. The God of Israel, I am going to withhold rain, and we'll see whose God is God. Because your God is the God of lightning and rain and fertility, and we're going to withhold that from you. Where are you going to put your faith and confidence in? So Elijah is setting the stage for what is to come. He's challenging the reality of the king and the queen, the harlot, the prophets of Baal. There's 850 prophets of Baal and Grove or whatever it was. Elijah was setting the stage to separate the wheat from the chaff, to let truth and light shine over darkness. And so the drought is going to come. The word of the Lord has said the drought is going to come. But it's not only a drought of water that is said here. You will find that it is going to be a drought of God's word. Something that is already, I believe, happening here in America. A drought of the true word of God. Because remember, Jezebel has already killed and silenced all the other prophets. Except one, Elijah. So Elijah comes to God, to Ahab and says, "Surely there will be no rain, no dew. It's going to happen because of your actions." And so that was just verse one, folks. So 2-7. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to go through all this. There's a lot in here. 2-7. I'll set the stage here. "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself where the brook Cherith that is before Jordan." And I'll go through 2-7 probably next time. But I just said that a drought was coming of the water, but also the word of the Lord. Because what just happened here? The word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, "Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan." So the prophet of Israel who spoke on behalf of God, the word of God now is leaving. He's telling him to go into hiding. So now there is going to be a void. And that comes up in the book of Amos. And that's where we're going to go off. We're going to leave off next time. Because there's going to be a famine of the word. And that means that God is going to turn now his judgment upon them. They've turned their back on God. They've turned their back on him. They've completely said, "We don't want you. We want Baal, and this is who we are." You know, so just because someone says this is the new God does not make it right, folks. That's why you need to know. You need to know. You need that Holy Spirit in there for wisdom, for discernment, to know the signs and times that we live in, to know what's being said and the things that are happening in our life. Can you see kind of the parallel? I think it's pretty cool, and I think it's going to be even more apparent as we go through this setting. How many? You guys excited about this? I'm pretty excited about it. Just the thought of like the depth of just one verse. Yeah, that was so awesome. Just spending the time, and I'm going, wow, look at this. You know, reading through this is pretty awesome. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you for this study that is just adding on to prayer and supplication, Lord, and the importance of it, that we might know the steps of a righteous man, that we see what Elijah will has done, Lord, and that may change us in our actions and deeds in this life as we come and encounter others, Father. Be with us as we go our separate ways, Father. Help us to seek your will in our life. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this time of communion and fellowship with you and your church. In Jesus' holy name, amen. We are dismissed.